Good morning, Ebenezer, family and friends. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's amazing as we celebrate Resurrection Day traditionally. But for those who are true believers, we celebrate Resurrection Day every day because of what Christ has done for us. The early church, it was noted by early theologians that when Christ rose, this would be kind of a handshake term. They would walk around and to the fellow believers, they would say, "He is risen." And then someone else would say, "He is risen indeed." And again, I think we need to carry this in our heart every day because that power of Christ is working mightily in us, especially as we're learning more about the Holy Spirit. Please and thank you at the same time for downloading the app and staying connected with the notifications and everything that's going on there. We want you to please pray for those who are going through. We have a lot of sick and shut-in, bereaved families that are going through. And that prayer wall, if you haven't taken a notice of that prayer wall on ebcnc.com or on our app, please get on it. It just blesses my heart when I know and understand that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Also, we want to let you know God is blessing us. We've got our in-person services with masks and distancing as best as possible. We have 8:45 and our 10:45. Of course, we have our 10 o'clock online and whatever the Lord is leading you. We just thank God for the many opportunities to get the word out. And I'm just amazed. He's saving souls. He's adding to the church as he sees fit. And I'm just thrilled at the glory of God that's being shown in this season. Also, I want to thank you for your giving. It's just blessing. And not just giving physically to the church. We have several ways to do that. You can give through the app. You can send it to our secure mailbox. You can also text to give. We have all those options. But also your giving that takes place in staying connected with one another, texting or calling. I've just been blessed to see in this season and time the circles of connections that have happened. We call one circle the mother's circle, where the mothers have just decided to reach out and connect. We've got the elder circle where they kind of talk and they keep track of one another. So it's just a blessing of what the Lord has done in this season and in time. I got a verse that's been put on my heart. It comes from John 19:2. As we're thinking about the resurrection of Christ and everything he's gone through, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Been working in my yard cleaning up things, and the other day I came across this thing, and really it just struck me because I was getting ready to step on it. But as you can see, these thorns are serious. And I just thought about Christ. I thought about that crown of thorns that was put on his head. And can you imagine? I'm not even going to attempt to even portray to put this against my head, because these spikes, even trying to hold it sometime, they stick into my hand. And I just thank God that he carried our sins and bore our griefs. And it was much more than these spikes that went in his crown of his head and the blood came down. He carried on all of our iniquities. And what a mighty, mighty God we serve. So this time, let's think on him and let's pray.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just come in the most humble way when we have. First, we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us all, Lord, through all that we're going through, Heavenly Father. All the virus, Lord. You see our good. We know that you can do all things but fail. Bless us all, Lord, that we may keep our hands in thy hand, that you may use us for your service. Bless those who are sick in our community and around about and the bereaved family, Lord. Keep us all, Lord, to be strong, to have that love one to another. And Lord, if we did anything wrong, forgive us all, Lord, for we don't know how long it be that we'll have to leave this world. But Lord, we just want to be in your name. Father, now we ask you to bless those who have come and those who are yet to come. Bless those who have been here for the early morning service, Father. And Father, we ask you to bless our beloved pastor and his family, Lord, and bless him as he brings the word to us today, Lord, and that we can be the one who receive of your word. for your word is forever, and we just want to be your wonderful children forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just put a little in your vessel, and your lamp trimmed and burning, I'll be ready.
Yes, God.
When the bridegroom, put a little oil in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, amazing and grace, Lord, how sweet the sound, Lord, I save a wretch, Lord, like me. Lord, I was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now I see. Put a little on in your vessel, and your lamp trimmed and burning, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Put a little oil in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I came to Jesus just as I was. Lord, I was very wounded and sad. Lord, I found in Him, Lord, a resting place. Lord, and He has made me glad. Your lamp trimmed and burning, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Put a little oil in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning, Lord, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Thank you.
God is so good. I am so, what's the word? I'm just excited. I'm excited that He saves souls and He continues to just move in mighty ways in our lives. As we've been dealing with the Holy Spirit and learning more about His personality traits, our topic scripture has been Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we're introduced to the Holy Spirit right at the beginning. And that same power, same presence is working in us. And we've been dealing with the power of the Spirit, that whole topic. And we're just walking through from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Remember our term? You got it, pneumatology, that we've been studying about. This whole thought pattern of learning about the Spirit, that pneumo, breath, and that ontology at the end, logos, knowledge. So having knowledge of the Spirit of God, that's what we're going through. Today's focus scripture, we've been walking through Acts chapter 4, and we're getting ready to go into the fifth chapter, and I'm telling you, pray, because we're going to have to deal with and touch on some really serious topics today. Acts 5 and 3, it reads, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are as we enter into your scriptures. And Lord, I just welcome your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as we're teaching about you, but we understand you're the one that does the teaching. I pray for those who are viewing and listening in, Lord, and on the chat. Lord, I pray that all of them are saved, but just in case someone may be viewing, listening in, or even on the chat and does not know you, would you help them today confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you, Lord. Let them experience that extreme grace and extreme mercy that you bestowed upon us. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you for speaking to us today to understand your word. And we thank you for your anointing, Father, that changes us from the inside out, that we can be more like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak from a subject today. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? As we just walk ourselves back in time to get to this point, we have dealt with Acts chapter 4, and we've just kind of succinctly walked through that. On last time, we were in the 31st verse, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And that title was, Fill Me Up, Lord. Some points in review from last time, powerful prayer. Help us to speak God's word. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event. The spirit of selflessness, great power and great grace, hallelujah, and the spirit of generosity. A time frame is 34 AD, thereabouts. Peter and John has been used in such a blessed way. They were going to the Gate Beautiful. There's a man that's been there 40 plus years old, and he was lame from his mother's womb. A spirit moves on Peter. Silver and gold have I none, but what I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Guess what? The lame man rises up and walk. It stirs up the town. Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, they're upset simply because Peter and John are using the name of Jesus. And literally, they want to do something to stop them from using this name. And Peter and John, they say, we can't help but speak of the wonders of God. We can't help but talk about the resurrected one, Jesus. They're released, and Peter and John, they go back to their believers, their families, and there they begin to pray. On last time we saw, they pray this powerful prayer, and God shakes the building around them, and they are filled with God's Spirit, and we find out now they're speaking with boldness even more. And so the church is doing so many wonderful things. The church is showing forth the true power of God. But you know, when God is blessing, someone says the devil starts to messing. Acts chapter 5:1. Let's look at this. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's our first point. It's all about the heart. Now, remember on last time when we were in that powerful prayer, after that, all of a sudden this generous spirit is in the church, and they're giving. They're selling land, and they're just laying at the apostles' feet. Nobody is in want, because those who had, they're giving to those who didn't have. The church is just focusing in on the love of Christ. Barnabas was one in those last verses of that fourth chapter that just gave. He just gave everything he had, soul submitted to the will of God. So here, Ananias and Sapphira, they're introduced to us. And we find out that they're giving also. And if you just read this quickly, you'll miss out on the enlightenment part of what's going on. McDonald gives us focusing in, helping us to understand what's going on in this verse. Ananias and Sapphira were apparently moved by the generosity of Barnabas and others. Perhaps they desired to receive the praise of men for some similar act of kindness. So they sold a possession and gave a portion of the proceeds to the apostles. Their sin, listen to this, was in professing to give all while only giving some. I want to say that again. Their sin was in professing to give all while only giving some. No one had asked them to sell the property. We're going to find that out again. After it was sold, they were not obligated to give all, but they pretended, hear me, they pretended a total dedication while actually they held some back. Wow. Who are you talking to? Now this is critical as we look at this. Why do we do things like this? Why do we pretend when God knows our heart? He knows our intents and also our motivation. What is our motivation? What is our motivation when we're in the building and we're around other believers? What is our motivation as we're home and we're listening to the word of God and we're worshiping and we sing? What is our motivation in our giving as we give to the church and we give to those around? What are we doing? Are we truly being led of God, or is there some alternative motive that we really are looking for praise of men, that we're looking for people to clap at us and say we did that? What is our motivation when we sing songs? Is it about really lifting up the name of Jesus, or is it about we want somebody to say, man, you really sang? Or what is our motivation when we preach and teach? We could be motivated by people just saying, man, you really preach or you really talk. What is our motivation as a Christian? Who are we talking to? God cares about the heart. Look at Acts 5, 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Here's another point. Lying to God. Lying to God. Now, I want to look at closely, just kind of break down and look at verse 3. Notice, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? This is a heavy thought. I told you we're going to be dealing with some heavy subject matter that literally Ananias and Sapphira, and we're going to deal with both parts, but Ananias is lying to the Holy Spirit. Yes, and the Holy Spirit is God. We're going to look at that. This situation is very similar to what happened in Luke 22 and 3. Then Satan entered Judas, surname Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Now, as you look at that fourth verse, the end part, it says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And so the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, this is God. This is God manifested through His Spirit. And thank God for what Jesus has done. And Peter is bringing this out. He's saying, you're talking to me, Ananias. You're communicating to me, but it's the Spirit that's on the inside of me. That's heavy. The Spirit of God is on the inside. And you thought you were just lying to me, but the Spirit hears what you're saying and you're actually lying to God. Isn't that heavy? Let us not forget, I go through Proverbs every month, and this scripture sticks out, Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Now, as we go through this, I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira and this whole process of what they're going through. And I can argue before you today that they get a majority of these things that God hates. Look at number 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. That sounds like them. Feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. We're gonna see that. And one who sows discord among the brethren. This whole process is Ananias and Sapphira are coming towards the con. This is discord. This is causing a dysfunction when God is doing such a wonderful thing within the body. How many times, listen to me, have we lied to God? Whew. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Even in chat, help me, Jesus. Because when we think about the things that we've said, how we've lived our lives, in many times we pray for revival. I pray for revival. And I believe that revival is upon us and God is doing something wonderful. But the issue is revival comes with a cost. When the Spirit is moving in the saints, when God is touching souls, delivering, setting free, and even healing the sick and doing things of that sort and that magnitude, there's a cost to the church because now sin has to be pushed away. There can be no darkness in the midst of us. And as we pray for revival, understand God needs sanctification. He needs us to be set apart. Notice here with Ananias, Acts 5:5-6. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Here's another point, sad but real, judgment. Judgment. Yes, judgment. When God is moving at such a mighty level and using feeble men and women such as us, we have to make sure we're hearing his voice and doing what God wants us to do. And he gives us such an abundant grace and such a mercy. But there's another part of God. He is a God of judgment. Notice Acts 5:5, looking a little closely. Then Ananias, he heard these words from Peter as they're spoken to him via the Holy Spirit, and he fell down and he breathed his last. He gave up the ghost. So when they saw this, and I'm with them, when they saw this, great fear came upon all those who heard. In this point, maybe some other people were in the crowd and they were thinking about doing a similar thing so that they could get praise of men, and they were going to say they gave everything, but yet hold back a piece of it. Maybe at this time they're like, hold up, we don't want to play with God. And so often we can take the presence of God for granted. That verse 6, when the men noticed this, the young men rose and they wrapped them up. Yes, they're having a funeral service right here in the midst of this triumphant time. Now we have a time of sadness. They carry him out and they bury him. They wrap him up and they bury him on the spot. What would happen if that happened right now in our churches, that people were called out because they were lying to the Holy Spirit and they would die right in the sanctuary? What would happen if God condemned you and convicted you right in your living rooms or right in your cars? Somebody said, God, help us, help us. Because when we think about the mercies and kindness of God, man, we should celebrate that. But please understand, there is a God, as we said before, of judgment. As we become more aware of his Holy Spirit, never forget Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for that gift. He's risen. He's risen indeed. When we think about the wonders of what he's done, Richard Buse, he quoted this. He said, either Ananias or the Spirit must go. Such was the white hot purity of that early Christian fellowship that a lie of that kind couldn't live within it. There are other times in the scriptures that this type of authority is actually given to the believers. To Peter, when Simon the sorcerer trying to buy the Holy Spirit, look at this, Acts 8:18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hand the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I may lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God can be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Who are you talking to?
Yes, even in that incident, thank God for Simon the Sorcerer. He understood how to repent and say, God, please forgive me. And that's why he didn't fall down dead at that point. But Peter's like, I've already experienced this. Ananias and Sapphira, they've already experienced this. You don't want to mess with God. This same authority was given to Paul and the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. I'm telling you, who are you talking to? The judgment of God is real. Are you hearing me? The judgment of God is real. We cannot take him for granted. We don't play with the Holy Spirit. We thank God for what he's doing on the inside. But this is so serious, and we're living in a serious time. Who are you talking to? Notice Acts 5:7. Now it was about 3 hours later. Say 3 hours later. You might want to put in the chat. 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Here's another point. Time to make a change. Time to make a change. So the backdrop of this, They had disconnected Ananias and Sapphira. They had decided we're gonna do this live. But Ananias said, I'll go to church first. And maybe Sapphira had took some of that money and she went out shopping. We don't know in the backdrop. But what we do see in Acts 5:7, and I want to point this out again. Now it was about 3 hours later. I don't know exactly what she was doing for 3 hours, but I do know in that 3 hour it was time to make a change. God was giving her time to repent and to not tell a lie to the Holy Spirit. And we need to think in our lives that we all deserve death, but God has given us time to repent. God has given us time to say, Lord, I am sorry, change my heart. There ought to be some hallelujahs. Some of you need to thank God that your family members are still alive, because you know they should have been dead last night. They should have been dead last week and last year, but God has given a little bit more time. 3 hours! 3 hours that she's out, doesn't even know that her husband has passed away because of his lie. 3 hours, and now she comes back to the fellowship. Who are you talking to? Acts 5:8, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Here's another point. Testing the Holy Spirit. Testing the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look closely at this 8th verse, that second part. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much, Peter said. And she said this, yes, for so much. The Spirit of God, is it Peter, trying to give her a chance? And as said before, how often has God given us a chance to get it right? Raising kids, we had good kids, God had blessed us, but there were some times that just one a few times they would try to get away with stuff. And we would already know as parents, we would already know what had happened. And we would ask them, trying to give them time to just repent, trying to give them time to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I've been found out. But they would push the edge. And we would say, did you do this? And they would go, no, I didn't do it. And we already, the hesitation was already there. We already understood. And here is Sapphira. She's at the same point. Peter said, did you sell it for this? And I can see the pleading in his eyes, wanting her to make the right choice. But she said, yes, for so much. Look at that 9th verse. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God? Who are you talking to? So in essence, Ananias and Sapphira, before they got to the point, they had literally came together. This evil thought by the enemy came in, and they surmised together. They felt that they could get it past the fellowship, get it past the Holy Spirit. They were going to test them. They were testing God. Oh, we can get away with this. We can have this little bit of sin. We can say this little white lie. It's not going to come back, all this. And when we think about in our lives, how many of us have played that game with God? And there's some of you that are listening and viewing in your life now. You're thinking about, I played that game. You're saying, man, I can sin a little bit. It's not going to hurt me. I'm with such and such. It's just for a little bit. I know I've gossiped just a little bit. I know all of these things, but please understand, all sin can lead to death. The wages of sin is death. As said before, who are you talking to? And as the Spirit of God becomes more powerful in us, we become more aware, then that judgment level arises. He says, how could you test the Holy Spirit? Look at that verse 10, that second part. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Who are you talking to? This is amazing, because right then, when she lies to the Holy Spirit, the same thing that happens to Ananias happens to her. She breathes her last breath. She dies right there. And the young men, remember, they were out. They were burying a hoe. I don't know how she didn't see that Ananias' fresh hole grave or the men was out there. Maybe she came through another door, but the men had finished with her husband, burying him. Now they're coming back in, and guess what? Another body, a double funeral in a matter of hours. A double funeral, all because people had chose to test the Holy Spirit, take his power for granted, take God for granted, and lie to the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting in one of Jesus' powerful teachings in Matthew 12:31, he said this. He says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Who are you talking to? Look at Acts 5:11-12. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Here's the point. One accord. One accord. Yes, yes. God has a way of allowing things to happen to kind of shake up the church. And I believe even the season of COVID-19 was allowed to happen to shake up some things, to help us to get on the same page, to seek the Lord. Not just Ebenezer, but all the bodies of Christ that are truly seeking the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Notice this, Acts 5:11, looking a little closely. So great fear came upon all the church. See, we can come to a point and we can just get used to the same old, the normalcy of how we do things. Just going to church and hearing the choirs and hearing the preacher and then going home and then going through our week and going to a Bible study. And we just do that same thing over and over. And the sad thing, if we're not careful, we can become desensitized to the movement of the Holy Spirit. So what God does sometimes, he allows things to be shaken up. And now fear was brought, reverence for God. Now it wasn't taken for granted being woke up in the morning. It wasn't taken for granted being able to eat. It wasn't taken for granted being able to even come into the fellowship and to be able to talk to the powerful God. Look at verse 12, that second part. Many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord. So when the people got on one accord, now the wonders came and the power of God came, and God is doing so much. I ask you a question. What could God do with the church of the day if we submitted ourselves, we sanctified ourselves, we focused on him, that it wasn't just resurrection day on one Sunday, but resurrection day be every day in our lives, and we love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? I believe that more miracles could take place. I believe more souls would be saved and delivered. I believe more families would be brought back together. Who are you talking to? Look at Acts 5:13. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Isn't that good? Isn't the point? walking in power. Walking in power. Yes, yes, they're on the they recognize who they're talking to. They recognize that it's the Spirit of God working in them, looking closely at that 14th verse, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. That's what happens when we have a reverence for God. We have a fear of God, and we esteem what God has done on the inside. God begins to save souls and bring them to the knowledge of truth. That is one of my prayers. God, save souls and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Bring them from the north, south, east, and west. And I'm seeing God do that, saving souls around us. That verse 15, look at this, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least, look at this, the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. The question is, could he use us in that way in this season, in this time where people are going through and struggle? Does he want the church to come to the point of being used by the Spirit of God? Look at that last part of that 16th verse, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were, this is the one, they were all healed. When we understand who we are talking to, when we understand the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, we can really grasp what Jesus was saying in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes, as we think about what Christ has done for us by going to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and carrying our griefs and bearing our sorrows on that cross, dying on the cross of Calvary, but they put him in a cold tomb, but he got up on third day with all power. He's risen. Yes, he's risen indeed. Please understand, he did that so that we could have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We're talking about God's Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Are you thinking with me? The Holy Spirit can dwell on the inside of us because Jesus Christ got up and paid our sins. Listen to this in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Who are you talking to? Thinking about God's very presence dwells on the inside of us. He wants to do amazing things in the church, but we've got to be aware of who he is. And never, ever come to the point of dismissing him in any way, but saying, God, you are everything. Jesus, you lead. Holy Spirit, you guide, you teach, you be our comforter, you be our everything. And we say, God, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we separate ourselves for the use of a wonderful work in this season and this time. If you don't know Christ, make a decision today to be a part of his family. Scriptures are clear in Romans 10. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2, it talks about by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God wants to do, as we see in these scriptures, wonderful things in you. But yet, there is the side of judgment. Please hear me. If you don't know him today, accept him. Jesus has taken our judgment on the cross of Calvary. He wants us to be open up for that Spirit of God to come inside of us and to transform us from the inside out. Oh, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this gift today. For the saints, I want to encourage you as you're walking through your days, oh, become more aware of his presence. That this is miracle time. This is revival time. This is the season that God wants to use his church in such a beautiful way that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I thank you how you're adding to the body. I thank you, Lord, how you're shaking us up. I thank you, God, how you're showing forth yourself in a strong, strong way. Thank you, God, in the midst of darkness, you are allowing your church to burn bright. Oh, Lord, help us to be aware of your presence, even as we pray for revival, God, that we will give ourselves more and more to you, that we may be used for your glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Oh, we give you everything that we can give to you, God. Everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promises, just to know, thus says the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I love thee, how I trust thee, oh, each day. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad that I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me. Be with me until the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more each day. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, who are you talking to? We really have to become aware, more and more aware, of the Holy Spirit's presence. This is serious. But what a magnanimous experience that God has given us working in our heart. And so as you go through this week, I want you to really, 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 really just thank God for what he's put inside of us. We're getting ready to take communion together. And when we take communion together, I want you to solidify all of what God is doing in you and in your family, and that he's saving souls. Isn't that good news? See you soon.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never lose, it will never lose its power.
Good afternoon, Ebenezer. I'm just excited to be here to take another communion on this Resurrection Day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Again, as we celebrate Jesus today, we should be celebrating his resurrection every day in our heart, because he has done so, so much. As we go in this communion today, let's really think about what he's done. Remember those thorns that I had. And them being placed on his head, the pain that he went through, all of those things, as we celebrate his deliverance through his blood and his body. I'm going to ask Tabitha if she would read us a scripture, and then I'm going to ask after her if someone would pray over the bread and the juice.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world.
Dear Father, please bless this bread that we're going to receive in remembrance of you and the sacrifice that you made for us. Please help us to do it in full knowledge of all the things that you've done for us and how we can be saved, in Jesus' name.
Please bless this juice that we're about to partake in. I pray that we'll just focus on you and that you will just bless us with this, in Jesus' name.
As Christ went up to the upper room, Passover, last Passover with his disciples, so many significant things happen there. But as he gets their attention, he picks up some bread and he breaks it. Generally at that time, it would be passed around to everyone and they would eat from the same loaf. But he breaks it and he says, this is a representative of his body that's going to be broken for us. When we think about what it cost him, as we take this communion today, I really want us to think about how blessed we are in our lives. As you hold the bread, as often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. Then the goblet would be wine shared amongst them all. They would eat, and I'm always amazed at the redness. That song comes to my mind, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That would be passed around, and they all would partake of the cup. As often as we think of Christ, let us drink in remembrance of him. Then the scripture said that they went and they partook in a song together. So I'm going to ask the family, someone in the family, to lead us in a song at this time.
Well, I know it was the blood. Well, I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood.
God for his blood. As you go through your day, never forget the sacrifice that Christ paid for all of us. See you soon.